saw his wife's sin in the garden. In the distance, God saw a cross. When Cain killed his brother, God was watching. And God saw a cross.
And when Moses slew the Egyptian man in anger, God saw a cross. And when David chose Bathsheba over honor, God knew there had to be a cross.
God saw a cross being raised on the horizon. God saw his son being slain for one and all. God saw his blood being shed for my redemption, for every fall. God saw a cross.
When I was born, the world just saw a sinner. But thanks to Jesus, God saw a cross. And when I first rejected his great offer, I'm so thankful God still saw a cross.
And with each wicked choice I sat in darkness, my God saw the cross. So blinded by my sin, my soul was helpless. With eyes of mercy, God still saw the cross.
God saw the cross being raised on the horizon. God saw his son being slain for one and all. God saw his blood being shed for my redemption.
To Jesus,
God saw a cross,
and I'm untamed forever. When he sees me, he only sees the cross. God sees the cross
being raised on the horizon. God sees his son being slain for one and all. Sees his blood being shed for my redemption, for every fall. God sees a cross. God sees a cross.
In Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, Go your way unto the village over against you, and as soon as they entered into it, you shall find a colt tied thereon. Never man sat, loose him and bring them. And if any man say unto you, Why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found a colt tied there by the door, without the place where two met. And they loose him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, What do ye loose the colt? And they said unto them, Even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus, and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed be is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Straightway in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and the scribes and the whole council, and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, What will ye that I should do unto him whom ye call the King of the Jews? And they cried out again, Crucify him! And Pilate said unto them, Why, what evil hath he done? And they cried out even the more, exceeding, Crucify him! And so Pilate, willing to contend the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium. And they called together the whole band, and they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put about his head and began to salute, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him on the head with a reed and did spit upon him, and bowing their heads, worshipped him. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and one on the left, and said, Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
345. Join us as part of the cantata. We'll sing all three verses, 345, Beneath the Cross of Jesus. You may remain seated.
After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it on hyssop and put it in his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished, and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, unto thy hands I commend my spirit. And having thus said, he gave up the ghost.
Save your
When the evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to draw toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not, ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. He said he would come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead."
I believe that.
Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came now the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For the incorruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when the corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
If you would please stand with us now and take your hymn books as we close out this cantata by singing Because He Lives, number 356. 356, Because He Lives.
God sent His Son, they pardon Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives.
On the last verse,
and then one day across the river I'll find my son, no more with pain. And then as death is laid to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I know He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is
thank you so much. You may be seated.
Amen. They did a great job, did they not? And we'll applaud for them afterwards. If you'll take your Bibles this morning and turn to two places, probably unusual places for Resurrection Sunday, take your Bibles and go to Hebrews chapter number 7, and we'll read a few verses there, and then we'll go to Revelation chapter number 1. Revelation chapter number 1 and Hebrews chapter 7, first of all, today. Hebrews chapter number 7, because He lives. Amen. I know we live in a day and age where the world, they know that He lived, but they don't all know that He still lives. We live in a day and age where every man and that's not saved questions. People are still searching for His body. They were still searching for evidence to prove that he did not rise from the grave. But we have a book this morning that we've opened that gives us scriptural proof. Much of the Bible is a book of history, and it proves out that not only was Jesus predicted to come exactly how he came, but he came and fulfilled in every point what the Old Testament said about him. And then even though the Old Testament Jew could not see that the Messiah was to die and rise again to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords that they thought he always would be, he came and laid down his life, not to reign over a sinful group of people, that he might redeem a people unto himself that were a different people. One that were cleansed not by their own works or by their own might or by things that were corruptible, as was just read, but by the incorruptible blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning in Hebrews chapter number 7, we see a reading here, and Jesus is being compared throughout the book of Hebrews to everything that the Jews knew, and Jesus always comes out as better. It's a book of betters, and Jesus is always better. Friend, I don't know what it is that you walked in the door this morning thinking was going to take you to heaven, but if it wasn't Jesus, I sadly have to tell you that you're wrong. If you walked in the door this morning, you thought Jesus plus something else was going to get you there. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Not me and something else. Not me and your works, not me and your baptism, not me and anything else. It's Jesus and Jesus alone, his finished work on Calvary, that'll save from the guttermost to the uttermost. Jesus is always better. In Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 22, he says, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament, and they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. So if you go back and read the chapter just in context, let me tell you, it compares Jesus to the Old Testament Levites, to the picture of Melchizedek. But it says Jesus is better. Says they were by reason of death, they couldn't continue their service. Verse 24, but this man, this man, the God man, because he lives man, but this man, because he continueth forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. I don't know if you understand exactly what you just read, but I get holy goosebumps when I start thinking about what happened in heaven because of what Jesus did. Because he lives, I'm not lost today, not because he died and that he was buried, but that he rose again. And when he rose again, he didn't just rise in victory to live for himself, but he went to the heavenlies and made a blood atonement on the mercy seat in heaven for me and for you and for everyone else that'll call upon his name. Amen. Not just those that were in the Old Testament, but those that would come in the New. Why? Because he's got an unchangeable priesthood. Do you know, I when you read unchangeable, it may not shake you, but I realize that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Even though he stepped out of eternity and stepped into time, that he might in the fullness of time go to Calvary and pay for my sin debt and pay for your sin debt. That same Jesus that carried the cross as far as he could carry it and then bore our sin upon the cross was laid in a grave. You know, it still shakes me to my core to realize that my Savior, even had he decided he was not going to die, no man could have killed him. But under all the pressure and all the whipping and all the things that he took for me, then he yielded up his spirit. Then he laid down his life. No man took it. He laid it down for my transgression, for your sins, that he might bear them upon himself. And then when he rose up in victory, I don't know about you, but there wasn't just one day that he spent in hell. He spent 3 days there, walking around in victory. Because he could not be holding to it, the Bible says. Do you know what that means? I mean, all those folks that go to hell, every one of them, I mean, they've got a list of sins that they came in with, but Jesus came to pay them all. See, he walked the whole place. And then he said, this is what I came for. And he took up the keys to death. And he took up the keys to hell. You know what he said to death while he was down there? I'm going to get you last. I got your keys. And he jingled them in his face. He said, you'll reign a little while longer. He said, but one day. He said, but one day. I'll stomp out everything and you're going to be last, buddy. Do you know what death does today? He does his job. But always knowing that he's not reigning anymore. He's under the authority of the one who holds the keys. He's just doing what God's allowed him to do. But one day, those that have been saved and accepted Jesus Christ, and I know time will go on, that 1,000-year millennial reign, but one day Jesus will take the keys and say, nope, and turn death off. He said, there'll be no more death. That'll be the final victory. It'll be the end to the final enemy of the saved. It'll be the final enemy that ends being ended by the glorious Savior who died on Calvary and paid it all to him I owe. Boy, I don't know about you, but when I read this, I think to myself, he ever liveth to save from the uttermost, to come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession. I spoke just a little bit in our Sunday school class about the intercessory work of the Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a saved person, listen, because he lives today, not because of me or even because of just simply accepting him, but because he lives, every person that's saved in this building, including myself, has the right to boldly walk into the throne of grace and to make petitions of our God. He didn't just save me out of my sin and save me so that I could go to heaven, but he walks with me and he talks with me. I have a walk with God on a daily basis, and sometimes when I'm trying to do it on my own, I don't know about you, but this week I had one of those weeks where I couldn't get it all done by myself. It was too much for me. And I was reminded, I don't have to do it on my own. And I was reminded that God was almighty and he was powerful and that he came from heaven to save me. And he waits for me to call on him because he's waiting. He wants to be involved in my life and in your life. Hey, if you're here saved today and you forgot that God lives and reigns, why don't you let him reign in your life again? You've been saved, but it's been a long time since God reigned on the throne room of your heart. You took up the position. You're the one making all of the decisions. You know what I did this week? You say, but you're the preacher. You had to do that? Yeah. I had to remember again that God was in control of all things. And I stepped back. And I know it's cliche to say, and I let God. He was the one holding it all together the whole time. He just let me get a little picture of what it was like when he turns loose. And when I stepped back and he got hold, things got done. Things started to happen, and it was better than I could do it. Why does that surprise us? He's only God. He's only loving, good, and I mean, think about this. He only ever liveth and to make intercession for you. Do you know that his eternal purpose right now, in this time period, now get it, he's outside of our time. He's sitting in the heavenlies. And he's waiting. He's finished the work that he came to earth to do. All he needs you to do is call upon his name to be saved. And then you can come boldly before the throne of grace and let him work the work that he is for right now. Do you know that intercessory work of God? Sometimes because he lives, I have intercession with heaven. I can bow my head and immediately walk into a throne room in heaven. You say, well, what if you, what do you do? Well, John R. Rice said you just pick the phone up in the morning and carry it all day. Amen. That was before cell phones. He had a picture in his mind of walking the cord all over the house like y'all used to do, like I did. You know, after a while, the cord ran to its end and you had to back up and unwind it. But we got a good picture of what it's like. Now people are walking around Walmart talking to me, but they ain't talking to me. They got this little thing in their ear and they're talking to somebody else in a far off land. And I'm like, hey, I think they're talking to me. And I'm having half a conversation before I realize they ain't talking to me. Hey, because he lives, I can live differently. You know, we realize now that they're not crazy, they're talking to somebody. You know what the world thinks when you say, let's stop and pray about this? They think you're crazy. You're talking to somebody that don't exist. Hey, but I got news for them, friend. When God shows up and he acts in your life, they realize you were talking to somebody. When he shows up and acts in your life, they realize that you had dialed up and you connected to heaven. And that action took place in the life. I want you to see this. He says, ever liveth. Unchangeable. So you say, well, can I dial up anytime? Night or day. There's no time you can't call. You ever seen those State Farm commercials where they call in the middle of the night and they still pick up? Jesus is, listen, if they had another chapter for us, Jesus would be better than State Farm. I mean, anything you could come up with, Jesus is better. Turn with me, if you would, over to Revelation chapter number 1. I want you to see here, Revelation chapter number 1. By the way, if you have a Bible that says the Revelation of John, it's incorrect. John wrote down the revelation of Jesus Christ. And if you have a red letter Bible, you see where Jesus speaks. And sometimes where John is filling in what he saw, giving us a picture of what we know. John is going to explain to us in Revelation chapter 1, we see John speaking and John says some things. And Jesus just kind of in the middle of John trying to describe all the things and the places and where he's at. Then Jesus just pops in verse 8 and says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Now, the way that John describes the Lord Jesus Christ here, he begins with the only way that you and I can fathom an eternal God. He says, saith the Lord, which is. Is always present. It's not just past tense. It's not just present tense. It's also future tense. When we read in the book of Hebrews in chapter 7 that he's unchangeable, it's the God. He's the God which is. When we read that, think about ever liveth. He's the God which is. You say, well, because he lives, and I don't have to have any fear of where he's going. I look back in the past when I trusted in him, and he was the God which is. He was the God which is, and he showed up in my life and he saved me. When I was worried about where I was going to spend eternity, Jesus showed up in my life and I had heard about him. I just never trusted him. And the God which is, the Bible says, and which was. You know, I believed in the God which is, but I heard about the God which was. The Son of God who came from heaven and died on Calvary. Who was laid in a borrowed tomb because he only borrowed it for a little while. And then he rose in victory. You say, I don't know what you're getting all excited for, preacher. Maybe you need to check your spiritual temperature this morning. Resurrection Sunday is a special day for me. We celebrate it every Sunday when we show up. Meeting on the first day of the week. Not meeting. The Old Testament Jews celebrated a day of rest. We celebrate a day of victory. they look back at the Sabbath, Passover that would be slain, and we realize he was our Sabbath. Amen. And that he's risen in victory. You say, preacher, which was? Let me tell you where he showed up in my life. As a 15-year-old boy who had heard and heard and heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, he was patient with me. And he didn't just say, okay, he's heard it enough. I heard it one more time. And that time, it struck me where I needed it to strike. The gospel, the spiritual word of God, cut deep enough to expose a place in my heart that I realized that I had religion, but I had no salvation. I had religion, but I didn't have redemption. And that day when I realized that I was living, believing in Jesus Christ, but I had never trusted and put my faith in his finished work, that day I walked an aisle. I'd been in church my whole life, from 5 to 15 up to that point. But I stepped down and I walked an aisle and I received Jesus Christ. With a crowd this size, without a doubt, there are people that have come to this place today who have spent a lot of time in church and in religion, but you don't know for sure time in your life that you've been redeemed. That you put your faith and trust and you knew without a shadow of a doubt. You say, what changed that day? The God which was became a God which is in my life. Amen. And I began this song in my heart, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know. You say, preacher, what's your song in your heart? Boy, I remember the day before I knew that if I were to die, when I stepped out on eternity, I had questions about where I would spend my eternity. But there was a day when I realized what was done for me, and it became which is in my life. And that day, I got a no-so salvation. Amen. Not I hope so. I want to. I wish I could. But I know that to be absent from this body would be to be present with the Lord. Our desire today on Resurrection Sunday is that everybody in this building, under the sound of my voice on the radio or on the internet, would not click the TV off or to turn the radio down, or to walk out the back door without knowing that you know the God which is. Because we've sung about what he was and what he's done, and I've told you about who he is. And he finishes, and which is to come. For all of us that sit in this room today, and we know who he is. We knew what he's done for us. But there's some of us that spend a lifetime studying what's to come. And let me just say, the best is yet to come. Amen. If you were wondering, what's going to happen if I accept him? Well, you're just going to receive heaven. Amen. That's all. You're just going to trade the old place the devil was prepared for the devil, the old place called hell, for heaven. You're only going to reign with him. You're only going to spend eternity with Jesus Christ. One day when the old sun gets plopped out of the side and Jesus becomes the light of the world. You know, he's always been the light. Something that we miss in the scripture and we really don't hold on to is that before the sun was ever set in the sky, there was light. And that light was the Lord Jesus Christ. And one day when that sun that he created is no more, he'll still be light. My hope today is that today, while the sun still shines, that you can see that he's the light of the world. And that you would allow him to light your soul on fire for him. You say, preacher, I know I'm saved, but I haven't been attending church. You can't lose your salvation. Don't let some religion steal away your assurity in Jesus Christ. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're saved, you're saved, you're saved. But you know what? The devil can steal your victory. Because he is alive. And because he lives, you know what? We come and join together on a weekly basis so we can get excited about he's still alive. He's alive in my soul. I don't have to live to my own devices or the things of this world, but I know that he lives and he lives in my heart. Listen, folks, my greatest desire as a crowd like this would be, number one, you'd be saved and know you're on your way to heaven. Number two, that you would learn and look for what is to come. And number three was that you'd spend your life living in victory. The victory that you can live in, that means just fulfilling the things God left. God left his church for people to attend and not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. You see, you can live in victory. I know you can read the Bible and you can get excited, but it isn't anything like walking in the back of your church. Amen. The family, your family of God, and being together with other believers. This Sunday, you say, "Preacher, I feel that today." You know you can feel that every Sunday. For those of you that don't know what it's like to know Christ, well, why don't you find that out today? Why don't you step out and walk this old-fashioned aisle? I know that we're different than a lot of places that you may attend. I know that we sing and we preach the Lord Jesus Christ, but we also have an invitation. And the invitation isn't to be showy or for people to run down the aisle or to do anything, but for people who don't know where they're going to spend eternity. It's an opportunity for them to accept Jesus Christ. It's for Christians who want to walk with God a little closer to come down and say, "God, this is between me and you. I want to leave it here at the altar." It's for those that maybe been out of church a little while to walk down the aisle and fall on their face before God and say, "God, I'm gonna get back in church." And leave it with him. Make a commitment to God, not to me, not to the church, but to God. It's a place to do business at his altar. You realize I began all of this talking about Jesus doing business for you at an altar that's in heaven. And this altar, it just pictures a place where we can do business with God. And this morning, I pray that you will. If you're here and you're not saved, why don't you let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved? If you're here and you're saved, but you don't have victory because you don't know what is to come, why don't you just pray about it this morning? Come down and say, "God, I'm going to study and I'm going to learn what's coming up in the future." Maybe you're here and you're a Christian and church is something that you used to do, but you need to get back to. Why don't you come and tell God, "God, I'm going to make a commitment to be faithful to your house." With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here this morning and you do not know where you would spend eternity, you're not sure if you died right now that you'd spend eternity in heaven when no one looking around but me and God, would you slip your hand up and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. I've never accepted Jesus as my Savior." Would you slip your hand up and let me pray for you? Is there one anywhere like that I could pray for this morning? I promise I will not come to you. I will not hunt you down. I just want to pray for you this morning. Is there one? Is there a hand that would slip up and say, "Pray for me"? I see that hand. Is there another? Is there another that this man would raise your hand and say, "I'm not sure I'm saved"? Is there one anywhere? Is there another? Maybe you couldn't raise your hand, but you'd like to be saved. You don't have to raise your hand. You could just pray. Let us take a Bible. Just walk the old-fashioned aisle. As we stand to our feet, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for this one. I want you to do what God wants you to do this morning. Dear God, I pray for this man and maybe others that are in the building that couldn't raise their hand this morning. They were just scared to raise it. They didn't know what would happen. And God, I pray that if there's somebody in the building like this man and others that don't know Christ as their Savior, I pray they would step out. Give them the courage and the boldness to meet me in the front, to be saved and accept Jesus as their Savior. If there's other Christians, Lord, that need to do business with you, maybe they need to get baptized. Maybe they need to join this church. I pray they would come as Brother Bert sings. Amen.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God. And waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Would you bow your head with me this morning? Folks have come and others are dealing with them, but maybe you're here and you need to be saved. You know that. You know that you hope you'd go to heaven. You wish you'd go to heaven, but you really would like to know for sure. Would you just step out while heads are bowed and eyes are closed and let us take the Bible, not what man says, but what God said on the issue. And so you can know and have scriptural truth to know how and where you will spend eternity. And that will show you how you can go to heaven. Maybe you're here and you need to join this good church. What a better day than Resurrection Sunday to join the church through baptism. Whatever it is that God wants you to do, as Brother Bert sings, you step out and come.
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, poor wretched blind, sight rich as healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Would you bow your head with me again? Folks have come and they're being dealt with. I pray that if you're here and you need to come, you wouldn't wait too long. I've told this story many times, but in a building much like this, in a place a lot like this church, my dad attended on a special Sunday just like this one, and he gripped the pew knowing that he should go forward, battling within himself that he knew that he would go out into eternity and be lost without Jesus, but still he was afraid to step out. If you're here stepping out and walking an old-fashioned aisle, I know that it's different than anything you've probably done before, but when you step out, it's just to accept Jesus Christ and His finished work. When you step out and you come this way, you're going to receive heaven as your home. When you put your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, there's nothing scary about that. It dispels all fear because He lives. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed and Brother Bert sings, why don't you step out and come and let us take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure.
Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe.